Well, hello, friends. Today, it's a real treat. I have someone with me that I'm really excited about and have such an affinity for and admiration. And she's been a beacon of inspiration and empowerment for women everywhere. Not only is she an award-winning author and former tech industry leader, someone we share similar interests there, but you're on a mission. And trust me, it's a mission that you want to be a part of. So I want you to meet JJ DiGeronimo. And what I love too is your wisdom and your insights that have touched so many from the books you've written, from the pages and of Forbes to the Wall Street Journal. You've offered so much information, and I'm excited to share you with our audiences in this capacity. And so it's an honor to have you with us today. And so I just welcome everybody here to Soulful Soundbites.
Oh, Erica, I'm so honored to join you. I feel like we are on parallel paths.
Yes, yes. It's so fascinating because when getting ready this morning, it was kind of like, oh, I get to talk to like this long lost friend that I've reconnected with. And I realized too, the last time we spoke was in early July. And I was like, how did that much time go by before here we are talking again? And it reminded me of something that I know is a part of your work. And it's really just protecting our boundaries and allowing ourselves the space to show up the way we need to show up so that when we do, we can show up whole, complete and alive and truly ourselves. And so I thank you for creating that space for you to show up here and to remind me to set boundaries of setting the right space for me to show up too. So thank you for that.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. So and great to have these conversations. Just makes the world so small and makes our work like even more potent.
Yes, yes. And I know for this particular episode, we're going to talk about your journey. And, you know, I love this because it's something that all of us have been on or maybe are in and don't even realize it. And it's that journey that's brought you to that intersection of your corporate career and this exploration of energy practices and ancient wisdoms. And so that's really the spirit of our conversation here. And I thought maybe we could start with just telling us what happened when you reached this crossroads in your career. Like, what was happening in your life? What were you experiencing?
Yeah, I was 40 because I ended up going to Sedona for my 40th birthday by myself because I was having such inner turmoil. I was on my career path and I was striving in areas that I had aspired to be at for a long time. And I had a view of sort of that next level of impact, that next level of the org chart, but it wasn't bringing me like the joy or the, I guess, fulfillment that I thought it was going to. And then, you know, add on my inner turmoil was just like yearning for more. And I really couldn't put a finger on it. So for my 40th birthday, and I talk about this, you know, my latest book is like, I decided to go on a trip by myself for my 40th, which was unheard of because I had two young kids. I had kids in my late 30s. And, you know, we didn't get away much because we had young kids and we worked, so we didn't do much. But I felt really adamant of going and understanding myself more. And I didn't know where else to do it. And I was in a town that I couldn't, when I started, I didn't know there were so many energy practitioners here. Because it's not like an energy practitioner hub, as many would, you know, maybe determine in other places in the world. And so I went to my husband and then my job and said, you know, I need some time off and I'd like to use some family money to go on this trip, even though it was my money too, because I was working, but I just had a lot of guilt around going, but I just knew I had to go.
And I think that's so important because we have those kind of inner whispers that sometimes just get louder and louder where we just can't ignore them anymore. And so I'm wondering if there's maybe some of those whispers that you were hearing that you felt that I can't deny this anymore. And what you know, what did that sound like for you?
And this is really the basis of my book, Seeking, because I feel like many of us are on a path that we think we should be on, yet our insides are just so not happy with where we are, whether it's a relationship, a job, a city we live in, a town we're in. And it's amazing because I feel like you can listen when you hear it, you know, as Angelou says, you know, you can hear it, you can listen, or you can wait till it hits you with a 2x4. And I think for a lot of us, when we're doing what we think we should be doing, it takes a 2x4. And so things start to crumble in other areas of your life. Maybe you lose somebody. Maybe things don't really pan out the way you think it should. And like, it's life shaking you up, being like, how much do we have to do to get you to change tracks?
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, I like the reference of the 2x4, because it really is those times where you feel like the ground below you is crumbling and you're just at a loss, and you are forced to look at your options, your crossroads. Like, what change am I making, or what am I needing that I'm ignoring? And, you know, I feel like too, that also touches on a point where we tend to seek meaning, and there has to be some greater purpose to being here, to showing up. And, you know, how would you describe those things that you had to sort of peel away and remove from your pathway so that you could move forward in a way that allowed you to have more meaning and to find greater fulfillment?
Well, it's funny, because when I was writing my second book, I realized that there was a difference of working in your career and on your career. And most women really have to think about this in their 30s, because the good work that got you there is often not enough to get you to that executive rank or that board seat, or maybe that more influential project or area of impact. And I feel very strongly about that. And as I moved down that path of just getting those accolades, I realized that, like, I just realized at a point that I kept striving outward to have self-identification and self-worth. And kind of when things started to crumble and I started figuring out, like, I got to do some self-work. I got to figure out, do I like myself? Do I love myself? Am I proud of myself without all these metrics and titles and salary? And, you know, at the same time, around my 40th birthday, I decided to really go out on my own too, because after I'd gone to Sedona, I realized, like, hey, I got to get out on the road. I got to speak more about my books. I got to make space to write more books. And so I did strip myself of a lot of things that defined who I was. And it didn't happen for a few years. So that, like, I was around 14, I left. And then in 16, it's like when everything started to crumble. And that's when I started to really kind of carve out time to figure out, who was I really? Like, not who was I on paper, but like, who was I really? And did I really like myself? Because I was so busy doing, I didn't really know who I was, or really knew what I stood for at a really deep soul level. And so I started going to different energy practitioners after I came back from Sedona. Not because I thought I was going to fix myself, but because I wanted to learn who I was. And I felt like if I could dig through my stories, if I could identify things in my life that really created a noticeable impact, good or bad, was I holding on to it? Was it impacting me? You know, what am I if I have nothing but me? And I feel like it took me a really long time to just figure that out. And I paired that with learning how to do mindfulness after being incredibly nudged by guides to do that. And I feel like I'm still on this journey of self-discovery, but I will say that now it's been 8 years and I'm a different person. My energy is different. My frequency is different. What I care about is different. But I would say that it was every day of getting up and just like really trying to work towards a better version of myself.
That is, you know, I think that's really a good reminder for people and an invitation, maybe not a reminder, but an invitation to be curious and to rediscover themselves. Like, wait, who am I? Which is such a big question. And I feel like that scares a lot of people to slow down of doing, to be and be there long enough to reconnect and kind of rekindle and almost fall in love with themselves on who they are. And like you, I share the pathway of when I had that curiosity of relying on external practitioners and healers to help me reconnect. And then eventually at some point I realized, wait, it's all right here. It's within, you know, I have this inner knowing, this higher self, this access to source that can provide me all the answers that I'm seeking from others. And I'm wondering if you have something like that, or maybe there's a particular hurdle that you overcame where you also found, oh, it's right here.
Oh, yes. That, yes, definitely. I mean, I've had a lot of sort of moments that have made me really think about like who I am and why I'm here. And when you start to kind of dig through the stories you carry with you, as Brené Brown would say, and you really understand like the relationships you're having and what they're bringing out in you, like, so like Byron Katie talks about like whatever's happening outside of you is really happening inside of you. When you start to understand like what drives you, what fears you have, why you really lean into perfectionism, you know, and I've had to really dig through all of that. And I guess through all of that, I've learned that I really am a vessel. I'm a vessel that can carry light or darkness, and you almost can't really carry both. You have to be like illuminated or not. And I think for a long time, I was just kind of in the gray. I had some darkness, I had pockets of light, but I was kind of gray. And I worked really hard. And every time I'd start an energy practice and they'd say, why are you here? I'm like, I'm here to create more space for light. And that's how I started every practice. And through those practices, I really learned that our soul comes in, you know, into this body to experience life as a human. And that light is incredibly bright with lots of insight and wisdom, but oftentimes it's buried deep below all the experiences, the discussions you've had with teachers, your parents, neighbors, your first boss. Like there's just so many layers that's hiding that illumination you have from within. And I think that's really what has shifted for me, is realizing that I can work from that light all the time. And sure, I get caught up in my head and I tell myself horrible things of why things are not going to work and who am I and what do I think I'm doing. But I think for many of us, when you go through this experience, you actually learn how to tap into that light more times than not.
Right. And I found that when you are able to peel away those stories and you are able to return to that light, that it's effortless to shine. You can just sort of be and be in your essence, and people just are drawn to you. And it's so poetic, but yet so simple. And so
Let me make it tangible, because I feel like we're kind of like you and I are zenning out here. And I feel like, let me make it super tangible of things I've really had to do. So through mindfulness training, through all the energy practitioners, I learned that I was not very kind to myself, nor was I really kind to others. So every time I would start something, or sometimes I was at a stoplight, or I was in the grocery store, or I was trying to work on a project that wasn't going well, I would like verbally beat myself up. Why isn't this done yet? You're smart. Are you even smart? Can you get this done? I can't believe they gave this to you. Like this constant conversation that most of us have. And then if people would cross my path, I would talk about them too, even if I wouldn't say it out loud. So I can't believe they came in that way. They're wearing that. They parked in that parking spot. Look at how they did that. Like it was a constant ridiculing and criticism that I grew up with. And I don't even know exactly where that started. You know, I could tell you like there's family experiences and all, you know, first teachers and all this, but like, it was just nonsense, like all day, every day. So there's no surprise I was exhausted, right? Just from my inner chatter. And so learning how to, one, recognize an inner chatter, and then realizing that you are not that chatter, right? You are whole being. That chatter is a slice of who you are, and you can kind of containerize it if you practice, which is what I've really worked on. So really understanding how you talk to yourself and how that impacts your decisions. The second thing I really had to work hard at is paying attention to what I talked about and who I talked about it with, because I was so hard on myself and so eager to get ahead that I would beat myself up or process or a project, or I can't believe this isn't going that way. And I can't believe they didn't get that document. And why did they say that? And how can this? And I mean, just so much rigmarole that was exhausting. And I didn't even realize it. You know, I started in my first book writing these charts up of positive and negative energy, how I talked, what I said, what I worked on. And I carried those through all my books because it really comes down to energy. So it's how you talk to yourself, what you engage with, what do you talk about, and then what do you watch, read, and pay attention to? Because for me, I had to raise my frequency to get to this higher level of knowing, to get to this more awareness, to be more self-accepting. And I mean, it took some time, years to practice really getting outside of those energies and getting in more of a self-accepting, self-loving, you know, more of a seeking, more of a being in the experience space rather than judging the experience.
That is, I've got to say this because it's so right front of mind for me is, thank you for making this tangible. It's really easy to be, you know, out there and talk about this in a heady space. And when making this really tangible, I think too of how you talked about frequency. And oftentimes that's greeting that inner critic with compassion. Like, I see you. Thank you for showing up. Not now. I've got this. You know, just that is a way to help get from that, you know, heavy, low vibration of being critical and judgmental to that place of empowerment of like, no, I've got this. And I think that's just another way to really operate and relying on a lot of energy practices. And so I invite you to share just, you know, any practical strategies, whether I know you touched on mindfulness and energetic practices that you could offer listeners to light them up so they can, you know, shine through in their essence.
Well, definitely comment that I say that to myself too, right? Like I got this, like I talk quite a bit in my third book, Seeking, about like being sort of whispered to host these retreats that happened in 2016. I didn't really do anything until 2018 because I was like, who am I? What would I do? Who would come? What if I lost all this money? Like, I mean, just on and on and on. And I ended up talking to an energy practitioner that really kind of kicked me into gear. And she's like, what is the problem, JJ? You keep getting the message, start these retreats, bring the women outside. But why aren't you starting? I'm like, I don't know what to do. Like, I have all these ideas, but I want to make this person happy. And I want to make sure I do this. And she's like, build what you want to go to, build what you want to go to. And to me, that was like the most freeing thing because I knew what I wanted to go to because I couldn't find the retreat that I was looking for. And within a couple of months, I had the retreat posted and I was in the home that I was hosting the retreat in. And I'm in the kitchen and I was cutting up lemons for some lemon water. And as I hear the women entering, I'm like, oh my gosh, why did I do this? This is going to be horrible. This is going to fail. They're going to think they paid too much money. What if the chef doesn't get here on time? Like, I mean, all of a sudden, like all these things. And I literally did exactly what you said. I'm like, JJ, you put a lot of work into this. You've created this from your heart. This is a soul-driven activity. You got it. Like whatever happens is what's supposed to happen. You know, give yourself grace. And so giving myself like that pep talk when honestly I was sweating bullets, I'm not going to lie, I was sweating bullets and I still sweat bullets. I had my 14th retreat this last month and as people are walking in, like my feet are sweating, my hands are sweating. Like, I'm like, what am I doing? Why would I do this? What if they don't enjoy it? I mean, it's really unbelievable because even now after almost, you know, 8, 9 years of doing this, the voice is consistent. It is trying to protect me and it is doing such a good job that it often convinces me that it's right. And that I really have to get in the present moment, meaning I have to wiggle my toes, wiggle my fingers, like really ground myself in Mother Earth, Gaia energy, and just be like, I got this. I got this because God's got me. The universe has me. Mother Nature has me. And they would not put me in this position unless I had it. And the best thing is it's going to create growth and opportunity for me. And I think that really kind of rounds out the lesson that I want to share is that like everything you're going through right now is a lesson for you. And if you're in the mud puddle, swimming around with other people in the mud puddle, and your energy is really low and everything is just falling to shit, there's a lesson. And a lesson often is like, get yourself out of the mud puddle. Pay attention to how you talk to yourself, what you focus on, who you talk to, what you watch, because as soon as you raise your frequency, your external world will change, the things you view, the things you do. And I think for many of us, we are waiting for it to happen for us, right? We're waiting. But in reality, like, we are the catalyst, and that we are the ones that the universe is waiting to kickstart our journey to the next level of awakening.
Which is so brings me back to, I know part of your mission, a big part of it is just this. It's just, you know, helping people to wake up and, oh, that sounded harsh, to awaken, to reconnect with themselves, and so that they can have impact, so that they can have influence. And so I'm wondering, you know, how that looks in your work now and your mission and vision and how you're of service to others.
Oh gosh. Well, so a couple of things I'm always doing. I'm always practicing gratitude for the littlest things, the littlest days, whether I'm on a walk, whether I'm driving to pick up my kids from school, like, thank you for the gas. Thank you for this opportunity to send my kid to the school, for the opportunity to, you know, drive and pick them up. I just am constantly, if I don't know what to think about, or I'm just having moments by myself, I'm practicing gratitude. That's the first thing. The second thing is I'm constantly wiggling my toes and my fingers to make sure that I'm in the present moment, that I'm not focusing on what's already happened or planning for what's ahead. I have planning sessions. So I'm like, okay, now I'm going to sit down and plan for this next endeavor. But I feel like even now, like, I'm not thinking about what I'm going to do next. I'm like really just like taking in your words and your energy. And I think for me, really planning and being in the present moment has been such a gift, because I see the hummingbirds outside. And I just think it's amazing with the people I've been able to connect, because I really work on my frequency of being at a high radio station. You know, FM radio is frequency modulation. So being more at 102.7 or 105.8 rather than, you know, 88.7, which I have been there. And I think when I really focus on my energy, the universe brings me amazing souls like you that I get to like really collaborate with and really help shine a light on what is working and create an avenue for people to jump on board.
Yeah. And I think just your energy that you carry when you're in that elevated place is a form of invitation or permission for others to join you there. And I feel like that is so much through your sharing your story and what, you know, the ways that you arrived at these different energetic practices for you has truly been a form of awakening for, you know, all of us, of returning to questioning, like, wait, hold on a second. I need to pump the brakes because I'm feeling lost. I'm feeling gray and dull and clouded. Like, I need to reconnect. And that looks different for everybody. And for you, that was making the time and finding the resources to find yourself in Sedona and to return to that. Who am I? What am I doing? What am I about? Do I even like myself? And I think that's just so powerful. And even if that's just the essence of our conversation, I love that. There's so much more that we covered. But I think that's just the key message for folks to hold and package up and to take with them from this conversation. But before we wrap up, I want to ask you, what's one thing you would tell yourself as you were approaching that intersection, or even your children, that, you know, what is something you would tell them to help them overcome these blocks and to find that connection early on?
And this might be something you've heard before, but this is really a motto that I say almost every day, that life is happening for us, not to us. And I think that shift of this is happening for me gets me in a mode of asking why. What am I supposed to learn? What's the lesson? What's the connection? Rather than to us, which is like, oh, I can't believe this happened. I just see my energy just like right away. I'm back in the mud puddle. And whether, you know, my son broke his kneecap a couple of weeks ago and everybody's like, I'm like, you know what? You don't know why this happened. Maybe it prevented him from something that was supposed to happen that night or later in the week. Maybe he was supposed to be in the car he wasn't supposed to be in, but now he's got to be at home for the next week. You just don't know why. But if you truly trust that life is happening for you, it really creates a lot more magic in your life.
Yeah. And something you said earlier that I'm bringing back to this is when you're in that moment of the what's happening for me, you can see what's happening around me. And you can have that questioning, that curiosity, that genuine curiosity to seek greater meaning in that moment and to find some connection. Like you had said, like maybe it saved us from a situation that would have, you know, been far worse than this broken kneecap, you know, or maybe this is allowing him to, you know, learn about caring for his own body in a way that he wouldn't have had time for if he was, you know, out, you know, doing all the things he's doing. So I just,
yeah, it's not easy. It's not easy, but I'll tell you that it's very, you move through life in a totally different way. I mean, life for me has gone from grinding and grinding to really experiencing meditations, amazing conversations, and things open up for me. Like if I want to go do something and get inspired for the weekend, it's amazing how things just fall off my schedule sometimes to create that. And you don't feel so alone all the time.
Oh my goodness. This is just so full of richness in such a way that invites folks to really get you and be able to resonate with you and be in that high vibrational place. So how can people find you? Where can they follow you?
Well, it's JJ DiGeronimo, and I'll give you all the links so it'll make it easy. People can click below. I think if you want to check out my new book, which really encompasses a lot of what we discussed, but very easy for people to make their own. It's much more been coined as a workbook. You can put in seeking, SEEKING, JJ, 2 J's, and 74, because 74 key findings emerged out of the book at the end, which has been so magical because I did the numerology on it, and it's really about co-creating with the universe and letting old like ways fall aside. So the book has an amazing frequency and it's been pretty fabulous. So thank you.
Of course. Thanks for being here.